fun than a room full of wombats. Able to reach huge audiences with a single broadcast.
Listen, coming from that speaker, it's talk radio.
It's an audio extravaganza.
It's the Outdoor Journal.
Yes, it's the Outdoor Journal Radio Show. A unique program with a different point of view about things other than hockey, baseball, basketball, and yuck, soccer. Outdoor Journal. Champion of equal rights for people who like to fish, hunt, camp, and otherwise play outside. Valiant, courageous fighter who fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the Canadian outdoors. And now, another exciting episode in the adventures of Outdoor Journal Radio.
Good morning, everybody. A nice chilly winter weekend, as it should be this time of year, lest we forget it is winter, so let's not be too down in the dumps over it. Funny driving yesterday in the city. It was just hilarious. It was, you know, you look at people and you wonder, are you familiar with this stuff, the white stuff? Because everybody was in panic mode. Thanks for joining me this wonderful weekend, Outdoor Journal Radio on Sportsnet 590, and I am Angelo Viola, and I'm a little excited. I'm going to stutter here in a few minutes. I am surrounded by a bevy of beauties today. Yes, boys, the theme today is women in the outdoors. Let's call it the good old boys club for a number of years, and let's just say we had our way far too long over the last decade or so. More and more women are getting involved in our pastime, our recreational activities, our passions, although passions, women, I guess, you know, the whole thing kind of should fit in together. But yes, more and more women are taking it up, fishing, hunting, ATV activities, going to off to war, God forbid, military, all of the above. And in studio with me, before I tell you the list of women that we're going to be talking to today, my co-host today, how fitting, is also a woman. Her name is Lynn Lefebvre. She is store manager at arguably Canada's leading sporting goods or outdoor sporting goods store. It's called Sail Outdoors, and she runs the biggest, baddest sale in the country. It's in happens to be in Oshawa, Ontario. Good morning, Lynn. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fantastic. Happy to be here.
Well, thank you for joining me. Did I say it properly? You know, it has been a bastion of male, you know, dominance in terms of fishing, hunting, and camps and all that stuff.
It really sure has been.
And it's nice to see that is changing, and I mean that honestly. A little later on, we'll be joined by another a big celebrity in the outdoors. You've seen her on a very popular program called What a Catch. Her name is Catherine Marone, or thereabouts. She'll straighten me out on that one, I'm sure. Catherine has been on the screens for a number of years in this country, in the U.S., all over the world, applying her skills at fly fishing. There's another male-dominated area, and she's been doing a great job. As well, we'll be joined by Amanda Lynn Mayhew-Hare. Now, I first saw her and met her at the outdoor show in October of last year, and she is the biggest, baddest hunter I've ever seen in my life, and I don't mean that physically, by the way. But she knows her stuff. She's featured in Backwoods Bones Hunting Magazine, as well as being a fitness fanatic. And she is in Fitness Fanatic Magazine, as a matter of fact. So all these women are entering into an area that, for me, has always been kind of my domain. So I thought it'd be fitting to have you in the studio with us today. Sir, first of all, welcome to Outdoor Journal and Pine Post and all that good stuff. I got to ask you, some people may say you have the best job in the world right now.
I think I do. I love that store. Not a day I don't get up and get excited about going into work.
But that didn't just happen by chance, right? I mean, the folks at Sail, these guys are and I mean guys, I'm assuming it's all guys, but these guys are hardcore retailers and sporting goods people. They've been in it for a million years. They know what it takes to run a successful operation for sure. So this didn't just happened by chance that they selected a female to run one of their biggest stores. Obviously, there was a lot more to it than that. Now, notwithstanding that you are a great retailer, your history, I read, goes way back with Sears and other retailers, but you did some time in Afghanistan?
I sure did.
Wow. Tell us about that.
Something came about in my life in 2008 where I had an opportunity to apply for a job overseas. And I just couldn't believe this. I didn't even know they were doing that, that civilians could actually deploy to Afghanistan. I had no idea until my barber told me, because she was doing it.
Whoa, see right there, right after that. Your barber is a she, like right there. There's something wrong with that picture, isn't there? Just kidding, go on.
I say barber only because that's what we call
them.
It's
a hairdresser.
She was my hairdresser.
All right.
I now call them barbers all the time because that's what they are overseas. We just call them the barbers. So she had done it, and she said they had a Tim Hortons over there.
Well, there you go. That's yeah. Reason enough.
And I said, well, I could probably do that, so let me apply. And wow. Yeah, you have to go through some pretty intense training at the base in Kingston. Wow. For 2 weeks. You're there with all the hopefuls, and they train you. They bring you into the gas mask, the chamber. Like, they put you through stuff you have never been through before.
Wow.
As a civvy. And I actually got offered a job, and I went over twice, actually. I just didn't get enough the first time. I had to go back again.
What a great experience. Absolutely. I was saying, now talk about a predominantly male-dominated world. We're talking war. But that just goes to show you how things are evolving and changing. Now, how were you treated over there?
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah?
Our group of civvies, we're one of the only countries that actually deploys Canadian civilians over there. The other countries do have stores. They do provide for their troops.
Yeah, let's just set that straight. So you were running the retail operation for the military, basically.
Yeah, for the Canadian forces. Yep. There's five stores and the Tim Hortons. So we have to get merchandise in to serve our troops. There's morale and welfare programs as well, like a gym for the guys to come and work out, DVDs for them to rent in their off time, anything we can do to try to make it a little bit better of a life for them overseas. That's what we try to do.
Well, I'll tell you, that is pretty good background as far as I'm concerned. You can run my store anytime you want. let's talk about sale. I mean, and I'm sure you have been told this by others. It is pretty unusual to have, especially a young woman, running a guy store. What we thought would be, you know, forever a guy's store, a guy's environment, places where you go and you have guns and you have fishing stuff and you have, you know, boots and you have tents and like all that guy stuff. Mm-hmm. So do you still every day get told by somebody that maybe a customer comes up to you and say, hey, you can't be the manager of this place. Hey, what's going on?
I can't say they've ever said anything like that. I am aware, acutely aware, that my voice does not perhaps translate my actual age on the phone sometimes with clients. You know, if they have an upset story or a complaint, sometimes it's a little difficult. I do have to assert myself.
Yeah, they think they're talking to some little kid.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you, I was in the retail business for years, mm-hmm. and I handled, my fair share of complaints. And I know how nasty irate customers can be. And I'm listening to you right now, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, they must just tear her apart when they... But I don't see that happening.
No, I've been pretty lucky, I must say. Everybody's been very respectful so far. I had one gentleman up in hunting, and I will admit that's not my area of expertise. I'm learning every day from the wonderful people that mm-hmm. we've hired. And I went up to speak to him, and I thought, oh, this is going to be tricky. He's going to realize I don't know what I'm talking about. But I said, you know what? I'm going to look into it. I'm going to get the answer for you, sir. And he was great. They're very respectful.
Sometimes that shocks irate customers when you're nice to them, because they're expecting confrontation. And when you are nice to them, they're not ready for that.
That's the best way to defuse any situation.
Mind you, I have a feeling that at sale, I don't think that happens very often, because I've seen the policies there, and certainly I've seen the rest of the staff and the ownership of that company. I got to believe that there aren't very many unsatisfied customers that deal with that store, for sure.
No, we take care of them from the moment they address any concern. We take care of it.
How about staff? Is it ever an issue with staff? I mean, you know, say even like an older guy who has been in, let's take hunting as probably a good example. I mean, if there's a male-dominated facet, that would be it, right? How about, you know, an old hunting guy that works in the gun department? Have you ever had a run-in or anything like that?
Absolutely not. And when we were hiring... that was very new to me, how to hire that type of an associate, what kind of questions to ask to make sure their expertise is there. We've got some great, great guys in that department. And I don't want to say I'm their mother, but it's more of a nurturing, you know, teaching each other.
That's a great point you point out, because I think in a lot of cases, certainly in your position, that nurturing thing is very important, especially for us, you know, babies that need mom all the time, right? It's it couldn't be a great match, actually. But talking about women and in a guy's world, let's talk to somebody who's a bit of an expert in that area, a good friend from the OPP. Staff Sergeant Bradley Schlurf. Good morning, Brad.
Way to go, Ange.
I didn't see you on the board here. I would have gotten you up earlier. I didn't see you up here.
I'm on.
I know, buddy. How are you, bud?
I'm pretty good. I was kind of hoping that the lead-in would be something about the old hunting guy instead of the wife and that.
No. I would never refer to you as the old guy, by the way. You know, I learned a long time ago that you never people who live in glass houses never throw stones, and I would definitely be throwing a stone in your area.
Well, I can handle that stone. You know, I was listening to the part about your voice belying your age. I'm not really 106.
Ah, say good morning to Lynn for me, would you?
Nice to meet you, Lynn.
Good morning, Brad.
Hey, Brad, we're talking, today's theme is all about women, obviously, and nowhere is that, I'll say, more evident in the last, I'd say, 10, 15 years than in the police force. We see more and more females gravitating towards that career, and I'm assuming the OPP is no different.
We aren't. In fact, the goal is to have our police service represent the public broadly. So, you know, just a shade over 50% of the public are female. So ideally, down the road, about 50% of all the police officers you see are going to be female.
That's kind of interesting. Although, I have to tell you, it's for being, you know, the knuckle dragger that I am, I know there's going to be a lot of female police officers who are going to probably email me on this one. There are areas where I just don't see this working successfully. And I think maybe law enforcement might be one. I want that big, burly, ugly, nasty cop going out there and protecting me.
I've been working for this department for 32 years, and I had the good fortune when I first started that the most senior female police officer on the OPP was on my shift, and she was in the first class that was hired, but female police officers were quite a rarity even then, and over the years, I'd say those women can hold their own with anybody.
Yeah, well,
I had a shift one time where part of my shift would have added up to almost a ton of cop. And we were going someplace bad, always better to have them behind me. But those circumstances are pretty rare, and there's no doubt in my mind that the scales are equal.
Oh, there you go. There's an endorsement for your side, Lynn. How do you like that?
I love it.
I may have to get these knuckles maybe raised an inch or two, keep them off the ground today.
I put my hands in my pockets.
I think the problem is all you guys are afraid to talk because your wives are listening. That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, no, I've told you before, this is Saturday. My wife sleeps in. But, you know, when you talk about women in the outdoors,
yes.
Here's a rare moment. I'll tell about the romantic proposal of how I asked my wife to marry me.
You didn't do it in a duck blind.
Ice fishing. But actually, wow. It was back at the house after we came back from ice fishing when she'd lost almost all my stuff. And
you still married her. You still married her after that.
Oh, yeah, I asked her then.
Oh, my God.
I was looking for stuff for months, but that's beside the point.
No, of course, I'm just having fun with the subject. I applaud women, taking on these responsibilities, especially law enforcement. I think it is fabulous. Yes, I would not want to be confrontational in any way, shape, or form with a female officer. I know better than that. I've been well-trained at home.
Around my house, I try not to be confrontational with anybody.
I hear you loud and clear. How about hunting? Do you ever run into them out there, Brad?
Not so much, but yeah, sure. There's lots of ladies that go hunting, but not as much. But yeah. that might be a matter of getting up really early in the morning, getting soaking wet, and not having much success.
Or maybe just not enjoying it. I mean, that's the other thing too, Lynn. Right? I mean, we talk about women in the outdoors and the ones that we do know are in it. But for the most part, it's kind of a guy thing because you have to be semi-insane to do some of the outdoor things that we do and enjoy them. Am I right?
I would say from my point of view,
yeah.
Yes. But
Brad just made a good point. Like getting up at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning with freezing drizzle, And you know, getting your boat all together or getting your hunting gear all together and heading out and sitting out there in the pouring rain or snow. Like, can you see enjoyment in that?
Personally, yeah. No, but right. I could tell you that I have women working in my hunting department and in my fishing department.
Wow.
Expert.
You know, I think a lot of it still, it's about how you're brought up, because my wife, again, came from a family where hunting and fishing was like the premier activity. That's what we did. I have a son and a daughter. Both of them love to hunt and fish, and we'll go at a heart's notice. But my daughter, not so much when the weather's miserable and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if I know as many men that think, boy, are you ever crazy to go out there and stand there in that freezing cold to try and catch a fish? Like, why not just go to the supermarket?
Yeah, I tell that to myself on the odd occasion. My friend, thank you very much for joining me.
Great talking again. Have fun with the bevy of beauties.
Oh, we sure will. How can I not be smiling ear to ear? Brad Schlorff, Staff Sergeant with the OPP. More Journal after this. Don't you dare go away.
From the streets of Toronto to the backwoods of Bancroft, here's your Moose Country Minute with Mark Bonikoski.
The Maple Leaf Snow Skimmers, the snowmobile club to which I belong, had its annual poker run last Saturday. It wasn't too warm and it wasn't too cold. The trails were absolutely impeccable. My poker hand, alas, was one card shy of a straight, with the nine of spades being the highest card. Obviously, it wasn't worth squat. Now, since getting involved in this sport, I have learned that those trails don't get groomed by themselves, and that it takes volunteers, dedicated volunteers, getting up at 4 a.m. to run the grooming machines through the bush. My club's president, Dewey Jordan, can't thank them enough and chokes up when he tries. A goodly number of the men and women who volunteer for snowmobile clubs across this country don't even ride their sleds anymore. They don't have time. Communities where snowmobile clubs exist should embrace them and offer them anything they can because of the economy they help generate. I would suspect that a full 75% of those who rode the Maple Leaf Snow Skimmers trails are not from our immediate area near Bancroft. What they are, therefore, are tourists and new money. For the Outdoor Journal Radio, I'm Mark Bonikoski, National Editorial Writer, Sun Media.
And thank you, Mark. Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal Radio on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I'm Angelo Viola, and joining me today, the lovely Lynn Lefebvre. And I always have to say that, and I keep saying, you know, you must stop, because that shows just how much of a Neanderthal you are.
That I'm lovely. I'm okay with it.
You're okay with it?
Yeah.
See, a lot of women don't like that.
That's a lovely compliment.
All right.
Continue
the lovely
on.
Lynn Lefebvre from store manager with Sail Outdoors, the superstore. Right here in my hometown of Oshawa, and a wonderful store it is. We're going to be there later on today doing
absolutely.
Peter and I
yep.
coming in to do some stuff with the customers. You've got a big sale going on, huh?
We do. We've been advertising all week that you guys are coming up today, so I hope there'll be a
cool.
big crowd for you, and no tax on all fishing, so come on out.
Hopefully we won't disappoint. I want to get to a couple of quick stories before we move on to our special man on the line with us from Radio World. Sharks are finally getting back at us, by the way, Lynn. I don't know whether, have you ever had shark fin soup?
I am allergic to shark, and I think that what you're about to tell me, I might be happy that I'm allergic to shark.
Wow, I never heard of anybody being allergic.
I'm allergic to all
shark.
Seafood.
Well, finally, they're getting back at us. You know, as folks know, there's been bans all over the world on shark fin soup, which I think is just a nasty thing that we do. But anyways, we won't get into the politics of that or whatnot. But it's kind of ironic, though. Now it comes full circle. It seems that folks who do consume shark in great amounts are susceptible to something called BMAA, and it's found in shark fins. And it's a neurotoxin that's linked to diseases such as Alzheimer's and Lou Gehrig. How do you like that?
This sounds very dire, but where does one get shark fin soup?
Well, you don't get shark fin soup legally anymore.
Okay.
So don't even ask me. Don't put me on the
well,
spot.
Well, then.
it's funny you say that. But obviously, the Asian markets are big on that, and even in the city of Toronto. It has been an ongoing problem. I think we've drawn attention to it the last couple of years, and it's being well addressed for sure. But it just seems ironic, right?
Yes.
Now the sharks get true revenge. And revenge we will use for a lead into our next special guest.
Hello, Ange. You there?
Yo!
Ange?
Yeah, Pete!
Is this thing on?
Peter!
I'm pushing the stupid button.
Bowman!
One small step for man.
How do you work this thing?
Благодарю всех, господа.
Pete, can you hear me? I think I better ask the experts from Radio World. And revenge, I say, with my good friend Jack Summers from Radio World, because as I'm working during my peak season out on the road all the time, he laughs at me because I don't have any extra time. Well, you know what? It's his peak season, and he's working night and day every day of the week. He's at, I believe, the outdoor show right now as we speak. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, Angelo, and good morning, Lynn.
Revenge.
Hey, good morning.
Revenge. Now you work. And well, I get weekends off.
It's not about revenge. It's just about what we do. And Lynn can testify for that. It's all about the customer service experience. But I'm still at home. I'm at the Outdoor Adventure Show at the International Center this weekend.
Right.
It doesn't open until 10. So I'm sitting here watching Fishing Canada.
Aha!
Watching my two favorite Hall of Fame anglers this morning.
Hooray!
Roland Martin and Pete Bowman. Bringing in these monster tunas. What a show.
I knew that was coming. But you know I won't speak ill of you, especially in front of a lovely lady.
And you know, you're a little bit hard on yourself talking about knuckle-dragging and comments that may be construed left or right, but I've heard you call Pete the lovely Pete Bowman, too.
Well, come on now.
Lovely and talented. So, but I think it's probably more aptly true with Lynn for sure.
Definitely. Now, what do you make of this whole thing? Are we being infiltrated by the female side in any way, shape, or form?
Well, I hope so. I've spent the weekend alone with you and Pete, and the drinking, swearing, and farting got to me. So if we can do anything to help that situation, I'm all for it.
Boy, there you go. You just enhanced my Hall of Fame image there.
No question. And, you know, I've been very close to women as on friendship basis, probably more so than most men all my life. And, you know, you just have to embrace it. And we'll go back to a few weeks ago when I was with the girls from the Kelly Shire Snow Run.
Yes.
And we've got like 121 hardcore sledders out there. And, you know, they group themselves off into to very aggressive riders, the Hooter Haulers, down to the Turtles, who get out and have some fun and do it at their own pace, too. And, whether it be Ashley Ray or Yvonne Brown or any of the girls that get out and fish the tournaments and, girls in the outdoors, the Outdoor Adventure Shows, no exception to that. We've got some really hardcore kayakers. We've got representatives from the military there and all stretches of our imagination. And if as knuckle-dragging men, we think that half or a little over half of the population being women aren't out there doing it too, then, or shouldn't be out there doing it, too, then we're missing the point.
Okay. Can I just jump in here for a second, though?
I wish you wouldn't, but go ahead.
Oh, shut up and listen to me, will you?
Go ahead.
Is it not true, though, that, I mean, there, and this has been traditional in certainly in the outdoors and hunting especially and fishing to some extent, that, you know, a lot of guys say, hey, wait a minute, you know, I'm all about sharing the experience with my significant other, with my daughter, with my mother, you know, the female side of in their life. But there are some things that, you know, are just guy things.
No.
I agree with you 100%. You know? As long as you can understand that there are those women in your life that would like to go and do things without you, and that could be including hunting and fishing.
But without me is fine. I have no problem. See, that's the deal here. I have no problem if my wife, my daughter, my mother, my whoever in my life that happens to be of the female gender, I have no problem when they do the female thing. I don't want to do that. I don't care about doing it. I don't want to go to the spa.
So we can go to the spa, but we can't go fishing?
No.
What if they want to do the female thing, and the female thing is going fishing with four other people that happen to be their fishing buddies? Is that a problem?
It's not a problem. I'm not saying it's a problem here. Don't paint me as a monster. All I'm saying is that there are probably guys out there listening right now that would just love to jump in and help me. And as I'm sinking here quickly into water, they'd probably like to be able to. There's a lot of guys out there saying, yeah, I know, I understand, and it's nice in the thought of it. But there's some things that are just, I don't know, sacred. It's
I thought you were going to say that word.
Well,
I don't know. I have to disagree with you. You know, in our hunt camp, We go every week, every year, and we love it together. And there's men, women, and children involved. And you know, it's like saying, "Hey, I don't want to bring out a 12-year-old kid hunting."
No, see, now you see once again, you're painting me as this horrible monster that I'm not.
That's only because I know you. But go ahead.
Of course, I'm just kidding, as everybody knows who knows me. I think it's wonderful. I embrace them embracing the outdoors. I think we, as the male of the species, need females to help us tell the world about this great thing called the outdoors. And I think, you know, I embrace companies like Sail that have gone, I think, out of their way. I'm sure, Lynn, and you must agree with us, I'm sure that they had a male managers apply for your position. I'm sure that they had to you were in the
Absolutely,
minority. You were
I
definitely
was.
In the minority. There were probably a ton of guys who wanted that job. But, you know, companies like Sail and Jack at Radio World, they think beyond that. And and I applaud them. Good for them.
Yeah,
for
absolutely. Them. I know it was a challenge for them, but I'm glad they went with me. And I think that store is proven
no
that
kidding.
It's success.
No kidding. Now, when are we going to replace you with a nice-looking female version, Jack?
Well, I don't know. I'm kind of sitting here relaxing right now. If somebody wants to jump in and head over to the International Center and knows everything there is to know about mine lab metal detectors, they can start at 10 o'clock this morning.
All right.
But I don't think that's going to happen, so that's what I'm going to do, jump in the shower and get ready to head over. And we've got a great weekend ahead at the show, and we have a complete mine lab demonstration area. We're giving seminars at the show tonight at 5 o'clock and tomorrow at 11:15, and we're talking about all things treasure hunting, adventure hunting, gold hunting, and
wow.
so on
that's
with the world's fabulous. Best metal detectors.
Wow, that's very cool. Hey, listen, I got that email about that new sonar. That
wow, the Hummingbird 360?
Talk to me about that quickly.
That is staggering.
I was blown away. Hey, what is, like, they've gone to this round pattern for their display? Is that what I'm seeing there?
Yeah, basically what they've done is they've taken a combination of side imaging, which would go out either side of your boat 180 feet or so, and down imaging, and put that into a 360-degree pattern. It has a drop-down transducer on a deployment system. It kind of looks like a pod that goes down, and it does about a 360 degree view about 150 feet in each direction. So it's side imaging, it's down imaging, it's forward looking and rear looking sonar all in one package. It's a staggering add-on to anything that's 798 HD and up series Hummingbird units. It's the latest and greatest technologies that we've seen so far. And, you know, we talked about it last week with the new Generation 2 Lowrance, and we talked about it, you know, 4 weeks before that with the HDS units. And here we are. The electronics industry does it again. And is it going to be all things to all people? It's going to be cost prohibitive for some, but it's just another example how electronics is going to give competitive anglers that edge over others.
It looks fantastic. If that dog can hunt half as good as it looks, man, I'll tell you, I'm all over that one.
It's staggering. And what it's going to do, it's just going to give you an advantage. It's going to tell you where the structure is. And you know, before, I mean, last year you knew we could zoom along and see what was left and what was right and what you've passed. But the ability to see what's upcoming is adding that added element of taking the guesswork out of it. It's like, wow.
Just another reason to visit Radio World or radioworld.ca, my friend. You make it easy.
Well, thanks. You guys have fun today, and have fun over at the sales store, and sell lots of worms and line and fishing rods.
Guy stuff! Thanks, Jack.
Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Jack Summers from Radio World, who will be at the outdoor show at the International Center all this weekend. Another wonderful event. But the main event you need to be concerned with this weekend is happening at Sail across the province. Sail Outdoors, and I'll be at the Oshawa store today with Lynn, by the way. If you want to come in
Absolutely.
And meet Lynn in person, What a great opportunity. Drop down to the Oshawa store. We'll be there all day. I'll be hanging out with the girls, as it were.
Yes.
And a lovely girl on the line with us now, a very special guest today. I've had an eye on her in her production for years. I'm sure you've all had a chance to catch it called What a Catch TV. Her name is Catherine Maroon, and I mispronounced it earlier on today, but I've been corrected here by our good people at the Fan. And she's coming to us from Barbados, or Bermuda, I'm sorry. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning. It's a Bermudaful day.
I bet it is. Good on you, too, by the way.
Thank
How do you cut that deal? Do you live down there now?
Well, so many of the snowbirds from Canada go to Florida, and Bermuda is only a two-hour flight. So
Catherine,
we thought we'd try it out.
Catherine, I must apologize for being the knuckle dragger that I am. But when I think of you and I see your program, the last thing I think about is a snowbird. Okay, so don't go down that road. All right.
Oh well, thank you. I usually do try to escape the Canadian winters.
Good for
although,
you.
Although ice fishing is all in vogue these days, and
yes.
that is a lot of fun.
Listen, Catherine, I'm joined here in studio by a lovely young lady. Lynn Lefebvre is her name, and she runs arguably, I'm going to say, you know, Canada's biggest outdoor superstore. It's called Sale, and it just happens to be right here in my neck of the woods. And she's joining us today because we're talking about women in the outdoors.
Hi, Catherine.
Good morning. This is a shop that I haven't done some damage in yet. I guess
when I
get back to Canada, I'll have to come in and say hello.
They
Definitely.
Have a fly shops, Catherine, within the store that will blow your mind.
You will love it.
For sure.
Well, that's something to look forward to. You know, my husband and I share everything except our fishing gear.
Yes, I've heard.
His and hers.
Yes.
I want to talk to you about what you're doing out there as you travel around the globe, depicting and documenting some of the wonderful outdoor stories, in particular fishing adventures. So I'm going to ask you to stay on the line with me, if you could, for a couple more minutes.
Sure, I'd love to.
I want to cover a couple of things. I saw something on the internet that really interests me that I need to talk to you about. And I'm sure Lynn has a pile of questions for you as well, but we'll just take a quick break. You're listening to Outdoor Journal Radio on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Outdoor Journal. More after this. Don't you dare go away.
And now, back to those rugged outdoorsmen on the Outdoor Journal Radio Hour.
That's right.
Right.
That's what we need is more of that. That kind of introduction. I'm feeling right at home now. Thanks for joining me, Angelo Viola, on Outdoor Journal Radio, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and live in studio with me, Lynn Lefebvre. She manages arguably one of Canada's largest outdoor superstores. It's called Sale. On the line with us from Bermuda, of all places, Catherine Maroon, host of What a Catch TV and great adventure programming. Catherine, thanks for hanging in there with us.
Well, thank you. It's great to have a visit this morning.
All right. So we've been talking, and you probably, unless you went on the internet, you have not been listening to the show up to now. The theme is women in the outdoors, and we're talking to women who are involved in all facets of the outdoors, including hunting, which, you know, is kind of the last bastion of manhood, if you will. But I want to talk to you about fly fishing, because you have taken this thing to a whole other level. I can't even start. I mean, first of all, anybody who's tried fly fishing, anybody who's involved in fly fishing, you know exactly what I mean when I say it is not the easiest pastime to fall in love with. And I mean that sincerely. It's a great opportunity to get out there and, you know, muck it up with fish and streams and lakes and whatnot. But to be quite honest with you, for most of us, it's a pretty tough thing to master.
It's a little overwhelming for beginners.
Right, yep. Right. So now when I say that Catherine is the only woman in the province of Ontario to be certified as a casting instructor by the International Body of Federation of Fly Fishers, you know exactly what I mean by
wonderful.
How wonderful this. And she's only, she's one of three women in Canada who've been certified for the sport. So, I mean, hats off to you, Catherine. Mm-hmm. I watch you out there with that fly rod, and I envy you. I am green with envy.
So. Well, thank you very much for saying so. You know, right. You know, some days are just better than others. You've just put a real spring in my step. Thank you so much for the compliment.
Now,
I think that people that fly fish are type A personalities, And I think that that's what it takes. It's the repetition and the time on the water that, and it's the challenge. I like a challenge.
So there's a tremendous amount of focus. There's a tremendous amount of focus, eh?
Fishing.
Yeah.
When did that happen, Catherine?
Well, I grew up on the water, and I started, you know, with, I've got an older brother and a younger brother, and my dad would take them fishing, but because I was a girl, I wasn't invited to go, and I wanted to be with my dad. So we started off with conventional gear, and then I sold my first business when I was 30, and I wanted to become a fishing guide, and so I started training to get certified as a fly casting instructor, and it, I've just, you know, it's such a, fly casting is a type of meditation, and it's just such a lovely way to fish, but it's only one tool in catching fish. I like fishing with all different types of gear.
I was going to ask you that. Is it fly fishing or fishing in general that you are enamored with? And you just answered my question, I think.
Well, for me, it's, I see the fish as pets. I don't see them as food. I have this weird affection for fish and conserving their habitat and their well-being. And so for me, when I go fishing, it's not to see how many fish I can catch. It's the opportunity to, you know, who I'm going to spend a day with and the beautiful places it takes me. And then to actually hold a fish that is like a little alien, to
right
have
back
that interaction. That's what it is for me.
Yeah, it's nurturing.
You guys are weirding me out here.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm telling you right now, both of you guys are weirding me out. I'm trying to buy into this, and I'm liking what I'm hearing, but ooh.
Yeah, I was nodding. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, that's it. That's what she's talking about, the nurturing of it, the aspect, you know?
You guys are great, man. I'm going
to
have
you. What's happened to me is I've ended up with a chronic illness. Spending so much time in the outdoors, I ended up with Lyme disease.
Oh.
You did not.
I did, and it's something that a lot of outdoor enthusiasts are ending up with. It's hard to diagnose in Canada.
Yes.
And so it took me 6 years to get a diagnosis. Right now I'm actually hooked up to an IV line, which I do twice a day. But the point being that because I've sort of known suffering and sickness in the last couple of years, I have a new sort of compassion for animals. So when I'm out fishing, I'm certainly more conscious about catch and release and how the fish are handled. I think it's so important to get the fish in quickly and keep them in the water. And if you are going to take a fish, you know, to kill it quickly, and because they're fighting for their lives, right?
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Is this going to affect me watching Catherine on television for the next 10, 15 years?
Well, what's happened is I'm back editing. I just launched a new show that I filmed over 5 years with my famous fishing buddy, Stan Bogdan, who passed away last year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's the maker of the Bogdan reel. And so that show has just launched, and it's about friendships and the special friendships and bonds that fishing buddies have, that it's a unique relationship.
Yes. You know... if I could just stop you there, that's probably one of the things that is going to be a wonderful byproduct of women getting into fishing. And let me explain that. You know, for years, we guys, you know, have tried to articulate that special bond and the feeling that comes from a great fishing trip with the boys and have failed miserably. I have a feeling that people like Catherine are going to be able to finally tell the world what that experience is all about. And you're right. It probably will take a woman
to describe that way
with different senses than we have to describe it. And she, good on you. Absolutely fantastic, Catherine. When are we going to see this?
Well, right now, I can send you the link and you can put your listeners onto the secure website on YouTube.
Okay.
It's up there right now for people to see, and I think that it's worth a look. It's quite a lovely story.
We'll do that, and we'll get Joe, our technical wizard here, to see if he can get some Band-Aids and get his scissors out, and he'll snip it on there and make sure it works. Catherine, I can't tell you how much we appreciate you coming on this morning. absolute
pleasure.
It's so
nice of you to think of me. I appreciate the invitation. Thank you.
And you take care of yourself. All the best. Keep us informed on how it goes down there, will you?
Thank you. I will do. And tight line.
All right, you too. Catherine Maroon from What a Catch TV, and I don't know whether you've ever had an opportunity to catch that program, fellas, but you need to check it out. It gives a whole new meaning to fishing, as far as I'm concerned. She's been a breath of fresh air in our industry for the last 10 years. Always nice to see. As is, always nice to hear from our next guest, our good friend from Coleman.
Coleman, the outdoor company.
John Winters, 2 weeks return from his sunny south vacation in Hawaii. John Winters, former superintendent at Algonquin Park. Good morning, Johnny.
How are you guys doing this morning?
Wonderful. See, you said you guys. Did you see that, Lynn?
He said guys. I'm okay with that, too, though.
See?
But you have to understand that I'm including it in a more inclusive way, Angelo.
Oh, well, thank you.
I could have said you gals, but I wasn't sure you could cope with that.
That's wonderful, man. You are no stranger to women in the outdoors, having worked in the park system in this part of the world. I'm sure that they are there in spades as well.
Well, they are, but when I started out my career, Angelo, biologists and foresters were all male. And it then shifted, and there was interest from females, and they probably are equal in number in M&R to the number of males that are in those traditionally male professions.
Very
and
good.
And I think it inspires young women to engage in the outdoors.
Well, if I can just interrupt you, Jack just sent us a quick note that he wanted to make a point that he forgot to do on TV. It's curious, he says, that as youngsters, kids associated with fishing, it's all, you know, 100%. There's no such thing as boys and girls. They're just kids. And then as we reach adulthood, we go into this left and right association with male and female. What a great point he makes. And he's asking, why the disconnect as girls grow up? Why do we all of a sudden think they maybe shouldn't belong? As kids, we encourage it, and then all of a sudden say, okay, now you're out of it.
I wonder when that happens.
I don't know. Anyways.
Well, the one thing I will say is that I think we've all seen the change in sport, and that's connected to the outdoors. I firmly believe that. So if you look at just one example, which is hockey, it was for boys, for men, when we were growing up. And then ladies' hockey participation started to increase. And curiously, male participation flatlined. So now you have female hockey is as big as male hockey. And they are participating at all levels, including the Olympics.
Great point.
And there's a lot of good data out there. You can find it online, and it'll tell you this. Women are very savvy when it comes to making the getaway decisions. So that's what they're going to do with their spare time, their leisure time. And whether they're married or they're single, they are prominent in deciding how vacations are going to line up and what we're going to do while we're there. They're well-educated, they're independent, and they want a range of experiences. They aren't just interested in flying flops.
But, John, when you were with the park, can you recall of groups of women going into the interior, you know, portaging and backpacking in to a little secluded speckled trout lake, just, you know, three or four or five or six girls?
Well, we would see the ladies kayaking and canoeing and going into the interior. Now, the participation in fishing was somewhat less, but not to say that there were no participants. Typically, those were mixed groups, and males and females were canoeing and camping and fishing. I can tell you that I learned a great deal from a lady by the name of Esther Kaiser, and Esther was the first female guide in Algonquin Park in 1934.
Nice.
She made her first wilderness canoe trip, you know, probably earlier than that, and she made 13 trips after she was age 78. So she was a person who was into the backcountry, taking mostly males on trips, and one of the significant parts of her trip was the fishing. She was addicted to fishing.
That's interesting. Yeah. Now, let me ask you, Lynn. I mean, being in the store, do you see more and more women sort of going into that fishing department, or maybe
Absolutely.
Groups of women coming in and going to the canoe department? Like,
this is what I was just thinking when John was speaking. We have a lot of ladies coming into the kayak canoe section, even over December when we opened, and we're talking to them, and we're finding out that they're guides or that they're arranging large trips.
On their own?
They're arranging like a group of 12 women.
Yeah, see, that's
We're all
cool.
going to go. Yeah, so it's really, really big.
I got to tell you, just prompted a memory that was filed way back here about 10 or 15 years ago, somewhere in there. Peter and I were in the Yukon doing a show. I mean, we were so far removed from civilization, it wasn't even funny. And on the third day of the trip, this group of female canoeists, not kayakers, canoeists, came by. And it was like four or five women out in the middle of nowhere. It was the most incredible sight. We had to stop and say hello and find out where they were from. They were from the U.S., but that just blew my mind. How
That's
could they?
Fantastic.
I mean, I'd be afraid. I'd be afraid to be doing that. Never mind them, you know. Good
well,
for
a
them.
Lot of it, Angelo, I think goes to what I believe is called see it, try it, do it. And then if you have the confidence and you've enjoyed the experience, this whole male-female thing, the barrier's gone. It just means that for someone, they've been introduced to kayaking, and they thought it was a great experience, a special experience. And so the whole idea that women would take on such a trip with the equipment that we have today, and one of your sponsors, Coleman, has picked up on that. I mean, they've realized that lightweight equipment and all of the stuff that is handy and easy to make your trip more enjoyable, this is all playing to the idea that there are no barriers.
Yeah, and I wonder which came first. You know, did these companies start marketing towards women, or did women all of a sudden say, hey, you know what, we're here, hello, how about us? You know, I'd be curious to find that out.
Well, it's a really good question. One thing I will say, though, is Esther Kreiser left us with a great book. It's called Paddle My Own Canoe, and that book can be purchased from the Friends of Algonquin Park at www.algonquinpark.ca. Every male and female should read that book. You will learn a lot from it. Truly an enjoyable read, and it does tell you about what the early trips were like when everything was heavy. You
know,
because well,
I stray quite a bit, right?
Yeah, well, don't be straying today because it could cause you a little problems when
yeah,
you
yeah.
finish at the end of the day. But
John Winters, thank you very much, my friend.
Have a great day.
Take care. Nice to have him back. He went on vacation, took off on us for 2 weeks to Maui
it
or
sounds
someplace.
Lovely.
On the line with us, in keeping with the whole female trend, a lady I had the pleasure of meeting several years ago who runs one of the top fly-in operations in the country. And I know there's a lot of other listeners who are in that same business who are going to argue with me on that one. But it is probably one of the most unique operations called Lozon Aviation. Her name is Rhea. How are you, Rhea?
Hi, good morning. I'm great, thank you. How are you?
Great. Nice to hear your lovely voice again.
You too, my goodness. You know what? I was outdoors, and I just made it in when the phone rang, so I hope I didn't delay you at all.
Not at all. In studio with me is Lynn Lefebvre. She manages one of those giant super outdoor stores called Sail, and I thought it was appropriate we have her on the program today as well. Today is all female outdoor journal just for you.
Oh, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Lynn. This is Rhea. How are you?
I'm great.
Yeah. Okay, so Rhea, we're going to get into some details, but we're going to have to do it on the other side of the hour. I just want folks to know exactly who you are. For viewers of the Fishing Canada show, you know when I say the word or the name Hasty Lake, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We found this little jewel about 6 years ago that Rhea and her family fly folks into, and it's one of the few, if not the only, bass fly-in experience that you can sink your teeth into in this
country. Well, thank you, Angelo. Yes, absolutely. Where we are here, we're just off the North Channel Lake here on Highway 17 at Lake Lauzon, small community called Algoma Mills, just outside of Blind River. From Toronto, you're looking at only about a 5-6 hour drive, so it's very, very doable.
Hold that thought, my dear.
Okay.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back in the next hour, we'll start with what I believe to be one of the best fly-in bass fishing trips on the planet. More journal after this. Don't you dare go away. If you were to go fish in Ontario, what .com site would you punch up? Good morning, John.
GoFishing.com.
Let's go to Rick.
Fishing Ontario.
Ron Quickly.
Outdoor Adventures.
Stephen Barry.
FishingOntario.com.
Quickly, Sean.
GoFishOntario.ca.
You're missing something here.
Ron in Mississauga.
www.GoFishInOntario.com.
Thank you. Thank you. See? Welcome back to the program. That's how it's done here on Outdoor Journal Radio, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hour number two, I'm Angelo Viola, and in studio with me, Lynn Lefebvre from Sail Outdoors, the superstore. And we're going to be with Lynn and the entire Sail family at the Oshawa store today, Peter and I, having at it.
Oh, we're going to have some fun this afternoon.
I've looked over that Sail, and I mean Sail as in S-A-L-E flyer, and oh my God, are you guys going to have fun this afternoon? That's going to be a blast. If you're hanging out, making that last moment decision on whether to buy any winter goods, let me just tell you, boys and girls, you need to get yourself to a Sail store today.
This weekend is the time to buy, up to 50% off, and we pay the tax.
There are no more excuses. Trust me, if you're looking for anything in outdoors and you've been kind of sitting on the fence, sit no longer, run. Do not walk. Run to a Sail store as of this morning, and all your needs will be fulfilled.
Absolutely. We had a lot of guys stocking up yesterday on fishing, getting ready for the season.
As your needs will be fulfilled from the folks at Lauzon Aviation on the line with us, is Rhea McKella from Lauzon Aviation, Lauzon Lake, the most brilliant, I got to tell you, and I keep referring to it as our crown jewel in what I like to refer to as a sort of central, slightly north Ontario.
Yes, good morning, Angelo.
Thanks for holding on with us. And what makes your operation really interesting to me anyways is that it is very close to us. It's very, you were just starting to tell us, I mean, you're basically a six-hour drive from Young and Bloor, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And our main base, I was saying, is Lake Lauzon, Algoma Mills, about, 5-6 hour drive from, you know, the Toronto area. We have also another base north of Sudbury, just south of Gogama, Highway 144, and it's the same driving distance, you know, the 5-6 hours up there, the Highway 144 area, we fly you in for the Northern Pike. Phenomenal fishing in that area, as well as this area, we fly you in for the bass, and then we have the trout lakes, trout, rainbow, speckled trout.
Now, we're talking about females in the outdoors today, and appropriately, you know, we decided to have you on. I got to ask you, though, do you see it at all in your business? I mean, are women booking little fly-in trips and stuff?
Oh, my goodness. Where do I begin and where do I end? I just don't have enough time to explain. They've always been there. I think now it's just we're making more of a presence. This year alone, like, you know, we see couples, we see families, we see there was into Hasty, husband and wife, and the wife brought her mother and her sister.
Oh, fantastic. My God.
So, you know, that was wonderful. And we have, like, fathers, they bring their children. And, you know, male, female children.
It's definitely on the rise.
Yeah, you know, I look at, and let's take Hasty as a good example. You know, if there was ever a place that was made for, and I don't mean this with any disrespect, ladies, okay? But let's be perfectly honest here, if we can for just a moment. I mean, we were built a little differently than you guys. And we do tolerate certain inconveniences a little better than you guys. And I think, you know, if you were to drop us, airlift us and drop us into the woods, I dare say that most guys could probably.
There could be a slight advantage.
Okay, thank you. Yes. Thanks for bailing me out.
I will concede.
Because I was going to say something that would not have been appropriate.
You know, but, I like to think, I understand it as, you know, you tell me where I'm going and what to expect. and I can handle it. But don't tell me I'm going somewhere and expecting something else, and I'm preparing for it, and you get me somewhere I'm not expecting.
Well, that's what I was going to say. If there was ever a place built for that, it would be Hasty Lake. And let me tell you why. First of all, it's a 20-minute flight in a Beaver, okay? 15, 20 minutes. So you're not up there bouncing around for an hour wondering if you're ever going to come down again. So right off the bat, it's very friendly in that sense. You get on this tiny little lake that you can see from one end to another from the cabin. From the cabin. And I know you may agree or not agree, but, you know, it is literally fish after fish after fish. You cannot make a mistake on Hasty.
We appreciate that. We're very humbled by the, you know, that whole scenario and that whole fortunate situation. And, you know, I'm a little sometimes embarrassed where I have to explain to people the fishing is so good. And they say, well, you know, that's okay. You just got to get over the fact that, yes, it is so good. And, you know, by the time that people drive in the yard here, they unpack, you know, we chat in the office, you know, we do some communicating and, you know, getting to know each other finally. And people, by the time they're in the plane, they're on their way, they're briefed. When they get there, Ray does an excellent job. He's my brother. He flies the Beaver. He's the AME, aircraft maintenance engineer, with my dad, also Reno. And they get a briefing at the camp. Raymond takes them through, explains what to do, what not to do. Mm. And he gives them a scenario of points them to the lake where the good fishing are, and they just can't wait to get going. And it is, it's comfortable. You know, we had a fella hunting this fall, and he just does a very enjoyable, easygoing, walking around the bush type of hunt. He doesn't do anything spectacular. He just likes the outdoors, and he likes to call it hunting. So he goes in. He went in there, and he was from New York, and he came out and he said, "You know what? I wish I had brought my wife. She would have so much enjoyed this." He had no idea how comfortable the camp was.
Absolutely.
So, where do you stay exactly?
Well, we fly in. We have a number of camps all within a 100-mile radius north of us. But in particular, today we're talking about Hasty, which is one of our closest camps. But if you go further north, we have some camps that are, you know, each are unique and exciting on its own. Each one is a little bit different, but you have everything you need. The lakes, all of our lakes are enjoyable-sized lakes. They're not huge bodies of water, so you can feel comfortable and safe and, you know, they're easy to navigate and explore and enjoy, and there's just so much just to appreciate the outdoors when you get there.
Well, it piqued my interest.
I'd like to say the fishing is bonus, but, you know, fishing, you know, it tends to be the number one attraction because it's so good.
Now, I couldn't agree with you more. I think you, in fact, have understated it. That's how good it is. I recommend anybody who's sort of borderline looking or thinking about doing one of those fly-ins for the first time, this is probably as good a place as you will ever find for the novice fly-in or for the expert, because they have some camps that are a little more challenging and are absolutely breathtaking. A wonderful experience,
and
for sure.
So what's exciting is, I don't mean to cut you off, but I just have so much to say. We had a couple of fellas, this was a few years ago, from down in the U.S. They came up to go into one of our trout lakes, the Lake Trout Rainbow Specks, in the same water. And when they came out, they said, "Are you kidding me? We never told them about such how good the fly fishing was." We
said,
"Fly fishing, we really don't know that much about it." And they said, "Are you kidding me? They fished all over North America." They said, "You have some of the best fly fishing that can compare." And we said, "Oh, well, that's nice, and we've done nothing about it."
No, I know. But, I mean, there's only so much mining you can do when you have all that gold. I mean, listen, tell folks quickly how they can get more information, how they can get a hold of you.
LauzonAviation.com, LauzonAviation.com, or call us 705-849-2389.
My dear, a pleasure as usual, and when I send compliments your way, they come from the heart. I could not be happier having worked with you and your dad and your brother. It's been a wonderful experience, one that I am looking eagerly to cross once again.
Well, that sounds fabulous. I'm putting it on my list.
Oh, for sure.
Thank you, Lynn. It was nice talking with you, and Angelo, we appreciate it. We you know, we just so enjoy doing what we do and doing it together, and we're not fancy or elaborate, but you know what? Let's get the word out. People, they've got to take a step back and just connect with the outdoors, each other, and appreciate what we got.
Thank you, my dear.
Okay, take care. You have a great day.
Talk to you soon. And how wonderful is she? Oh, not as wonderful as this one, man. Yeah, baby. We're talking Sean Kelly, Black Angus Meats. Here's a guy who's no stranger to mucking it up with the young ladies. I'll tell you that right now. Good morning, buddy. How are you?
I keep telling you, my wife listens to this show.
Oh, sorry. Oh, what did I say? I said mucking it up.
With the ladies.
And that's a good thing.
You know, it's funny that you should... By the way, hi, Lynn. How are you?
I'm great.
That's great. Nice to hear you on the radio. It's a coincidence that you should bring this up with the ladies in the outdoors. My wife just came in to work with me, and as her usual scenario on Saturday mornings... She's the most outdoors person that I know. We've got at least a foot of snow here last night.
Ouch.
She's taken the car and she's gone up to the Peaks ski hills, and she will commence to snowshoe for an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Lovely.
Right? And she's only 99 pounds, so you can imagine the workout that she gets doing that. And I mean, if it wasn't for her, I probably wouldn't get outside at all because she pretty much drags me out.
Well, I was going to say, isn't she the herder? Don't you send her out to the deer herds and get your meat into the shop there? Isn't that what you got her doing?
No, she just feeds them. She doesn't want any part of that part of the equation.
So you got a foot of snow up there. Look at you.
Yeah, it's amazing. It just started yesterday afternoon and it hasn't stopped, but it's a coincidence. It's kind of like Florida in the sense that... you wake up in the morning, you've got the playground out here for everybody to play in. I mean, the skiing just for the weekend, people will be up skiing. It's just going to be just fantastic, whether it's, like I said, snowshoeing or any outdoor activity. We've got the blanket to get people a reason to be out there.
Yeah, hey, that'll be a great weekend.
Not to get off topic, Sean, but I know this is a subject close, near and dear to your heart. The sharks are biting back. It seems that shark fin soup is now... being associated with something called BMAA, a neurotoxin that's linked to, among other diseases, Alzheimer's and Lou Gehrig. Ouch.
Hmm.
So now they're biting back, my friend. How do you like that?
I find that may be a bit of a scare tactic, don't you?
I don't. I knew. That's why I wanted to throw it at you. I have no idea.
I also read this week in the newspaper as well that the same holds true for eating snapping turtles.
You know what? I think you're right. I did read the same thing. Yeah, you're right.
Right. So, I mean, and let me, this is something.
I also heard, by the way, in the paper today, I read this morning, I wasn't going to use this topic because of the sensitive nature, but I heard Pamela Anderson was not going to bare her breasts anymore for PETA.
Oh, no.
I'm serious.
That's unfortunate.
She's now we've turned her. She's completely turned. She will not bare her breasts for PETA any longer.
Will she bare her breast for anything else?
I didn't ask. I wasn't. It wasn't appropriate for me at the time.
There goes my mucking around.
I'm sorry. What were you saying, Sean?
This is something that is right up your alley, and you can answer this question for me. When this first came out, number one, if you think you ban shark fin soup in the city of Toronto, that you're going to have any effect on the industry, you're foolish.
Absolutely.
Number two, I spoke to a gentleman that I've been associated with and done business with for 20 years in the Scarborough area. And I talked to him on the phone a little while after this happened. And he is in the herbal medicine business. And one of the things he said to me was, and you can verify this or not, he says, this ban is foolish. He says that because 95% of the shark fin that goes through the city of Toronto or in Canada is basically taken off the dogfish. And now they're going to be forced to throw that stuff away as opposed to harvesting it when they bring the fish in itself.
That's a good point.
Right?
And I know that to be a fact, by the way, with the dogfish, especially out west.
Right.
Western part.
So what you're doing here is you're going to eliminate the trophy fin, which is off the big fish, which, again, could be solved immediately by stopping the importation. And you're just going to hurt the fishermen who now... will not be able to sell that part of the fish when they catch it.
We just need to get you up to Ottawa. I'm going to back you. I'm going to endorse you. I want you to be, I don't know, we'll run for something. I need to get you up there on the hill because you make an awful lot of sense sometimes.
Between 8 and 4 after that, I'm a mess.
I know. I was going to say we'll have to keep it short. What's happening at the stores today, my friend?
Well, we're going to have a good weekend up here, that's for sure. We just brought in, I think it was 53 wild boar this week that we just finished cutting up. So we have lots of stock on that. But like I said, up here it's holiday time. We're going to have a lot of customers up here. They're going to spend the day on the hill skiing in the outdoors. and afterwards go back to the chalet and have something fine to eat, and we've got lots of things for them depending what they want, and we won't put any shark on the counter.
And for us poor folks who don't have the big villa and the palatial estates up in Thornhill or Barrie or wherever he's from, like Mark down at 360 Rebus Road, let's go down there and keep him busy, shall we?
Yeah, we should. I think you might have to.
You forget about that, don't you?
Wake them up.
All right. Visit any of the Black Angus locations and get into some wild game. It will alter your perspective on life, I guarantee. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Sean Kelly from Black Angus. And now we'll go to somebody who you're very familiar with. We'll just quickly get him on the line, and then we'll keep him on hold. His name is Aaron Noonham from Sail Outdoor Superstores, the big buyer, the guy who's responsible for it all. Aaron, good morning.
Good morning, Angela. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, Lynn. How are you?
Fantastic.
We're talking about women in the outdoors and how appropriate that we have Lynn sitting here in the hot seat today right here live with us.
Very much so.
And I said to her, and I don't know whether you were part of this process or not, and you can answer it at the other side of this break, but I said to her it must have been very interesting, the decision process that went into hiring her, when they probably had 100 other guys out there, all with the qualifications to run that store, and you guys picked the lovely Lynn. So I hold on to that thought. I want you to give that some thought. When we come back, I want a good answer from you. More journal after this, don't you dare go away.
We're talking hunting and fishing on the Outdoor Journal.
Welcome back to the program. A wonderful weekend in the city. If you have been waiting for winter to finally set in, down here, though, it's kind of melted away already. We just have learned that Thornbury is under a foot of snow, which is kind of cool. That whole Blue Mountain area, I'm sure, is doing well and finally breathing a sigh of relief that they have the white stuff in order to go skiing, in order to go snowshoeing, etc. Thanks for joining us, Outdoor Journal on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, I'm Angelo Viola, joined live and in person in studio here. Lynn Lefebvre, store manager at Sail Outdoors, the superstore. Big weekend coming up, a big day today at their stores that we'll talk about a little later on. But a guy also on the line who has a lot to do with that, Aaron Noonham from Sail Outdoors Superstores. And the reason it's important that I get him back online, because I kind of put a hot potato in his lap.
A real hot potato.
Thank you. Just before we went for the break. So, having pondered the question, Mr. Noonham, what's the answer?
Well, first let me preface my answer by saying I wasn't part of the...
You're such a suck.
But let me back it up. It's not just that. I think in today's world, Lynn is there because she's the best person for the job. It's the best person for the job today. If I take our company, for example, half the directors in the company are female. I said it's the best person for the job. And when it comes to doing something in the outdoors, sometimes women have different trade characteristics. They do much better than men, and men can do certain things better than women. But generally, it's the best person for the job.
Write that down,
Very
Aaron.
Good.
And if you ever need a transcript of this show, I have it for you. If you get problems with management.
Yeah, you should transcript to my wife. That would be very good.
Aaron, all right. So here's the deal. You're the buyer for the company, or you certainly head up the buying part of Sail Outdoors. How has your perspective changed over the last few years in terms of product mix? If more and more women are gravitating to what was once the bastion of manhood, how are you dealing with that as the buyer of products?
Well, we're actually looking for improvements in the products, which are truly now designed for women. I can say if we go back in time, if they take backpacks or certain other type of products, they just made a smaller frame. They didn't really design the product ergonomically for women. I can say that's totally changed today. So if you look at a backpack today, for example, when you look at a lady's backpack, it's designed with a female in mind. The hip belt is designed for ladies. The shoulder belt is designed for ladies. We really have products out there today, okay, that are designed specifically for women and their needs, okay, which really wasn't the case 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Like I said, they make it smaller, put a little pink or a flower on it, and they call it a women's pack or something.
Well,
and that's not the case today.
If I can, and I know the backpack industry is probably leading the way in that area. in designing products for women. They have been for a number of years experimenting and playing around. I think they've got it right. But then on the other side of that coin, there are other areas that I think are just doing the token thing. You know, put a little pink on something and all of a sudden it's for women. And
there are a few. I would agree to that, that I'm not everyone's jumped on board. I would say the smarter companies, the more forward-thinking companies are getting on board and doing real products for the female clientele.
Excellent. You answered that very well, by the way. The first question, I have to commend you on that. It was like the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. First you said, I had nothing to do with it, but if I had, here's what's going to wonderful. Listen, a big weekend for you folks at sale this weekend. I wish you all the best.
Well, thank you.
Huge sale. And I will be there along with the newly minted, by the way, the newly minted Hall of Famer, Peter Bowman, will be joining me. So that's going to be kind of cool.
Yeah, I heard about that. And yes. Pete is listening. Congratulations, Pete. It's about time, and it's a great honor to have him.
And so what a great opportunity to come out live and visit us at a sales store, the Oshawa store. Pete will be there, and great time to come out and congratulate him himself. What time are we there, Lynn?
Noon until 4.
Noon until 4.
It's going to be a great afternoon.
Am I getting overtime on this one?
No, absolutely not. God. You get to be with me.
Oh, yes, right. And that's you got it. That's my overtime. That's my payment. Aaron, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, my friend Aaron Noonham from Sale Outdoors, the buyer. And yeah, if anybody has their finger on the pulse of the female trends in the outdoors, he would be the guy. Now, I wanted to talk to him about the hunting trends, but I didn't get into that area because we have somebody on the line right now who I'm sure can articulate that much better than Aaron. Her name is Amanda Lynn Mayhew, and I first noticed her last October at an outdoor show. She is the hunter extraordinaire. She's a hunting expert and publisher. She's all over social media marketing, hunting and hunting-related products for women. Absolutely wonderful to have her on the program. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. And say good morning to Lynn here joining me from Sale Outdoors.
Good morning, Lynn. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Welcome to the show.
So, thank you. I've been enjoying listening to the show, let me tell you.
Well, have I crossed the line, Amanda? I mean, you know, I'm trying, and I embrace women in the outdoors. Don't get me wrong. I think it's absolutely wonderful, and I think we need more and more because nobody can express themselves, in my opinion. The true attraction, the romance, if you will, that we have had as males with the outdoors for eons, nobody can articulate it better than a female, in my opinion. And I'm hoping and I'm thinking that by having more females involved in my space in terms of the outdoors, I think it'll help us market it better.
I always have a hard time answering that question because I don't think of myself as a woman when I'm in the outdoors.
No, that's fine, but that's cool.
Yeah,
But when you're talking to people about what you do, I think you can express it with a certain passion that most guys can't.
Yeah, I think the passion comes across a little bit more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we can articulate it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So tell me about Amanda Lynn in the outdoors then.
Amanda Lynn in the outdoors?
Yes.
In what aspect?
When did Amanda first say to herself, I really like that stuff out there where what's been a dominant male sector. I want to go spend some more time out there doing it, especially hunting.
Actually, that's a little bit reversed because I grew up and was born in the outdoors. So I really didn't know anything else.
Okay.
So I've always enjoyed it, and it was just like second nature to me.
Okay.
And then I took a lapse from it and moved down south a couple years ago, and then I, you know, started getting back into it and such. And it's just natural. I never thought, oh my God, I'm a girl. I'm going hunting in the bush by myself. I'm going hunting in the bush by myself.
So you never thought otherwise.
It never was an issue with me. And when I tell my friends or discuss with my family, okay, this is the week I'm booking off, this is where I'm going, oh yeah, no problem. You know, like there was never, you're a girl, oh my God, what are you doing?
But growing up as a young girl now, let's bring you back. I feel like Dr. Gord, who comes up a little later on here. But, you know, getting good, I want to go back to your childhood.
Okay.
you say you were born in the outdoors, so obviously your family, and I'm going to assume a male member of the family, introduced you to hunting.
That's right, my father. Right,
exactly. Mm-hmm. And then you obviously had a real feel for it, and you enjoyed it. For you, it was, you know, very normal activity, right?
Right.
However, I have to, and I know this to be true, in your circle of friends going to school, I'm sure that the norm was not to go out hunting bear on the weekend with their dads. I'm sure that they had more feminine things that they were doing. Am I correct?
No, not me. Where were you raised? I was born in Northern Ontario, Manitowoc. It's a very small town.
Oh, mm-hmm. I know it well.
You can almost guarantee that the majority of the female population are tomboys.
Oh. Okay, so there you go. So there's the reason for that one.
That's very interesting.
Now it's very clear to me.
But I would like to say this. My grandmother on my mom's side shot a moose when my mom must have been 16 years old. And back then, that was uncommon.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, there goes my whole, I had this wonderful story I wanted to share and I wanted to poke into, but obviously that's gone AWOL. And that's fine because you two girls can now continue this conversation without me.
I'm just getting ready to go goose hunting with my husband.
Nice. Oh, good for you.
Yeah, and we were actually in the post office yesterday and I went in to buy the stamp and my husband had asked for his stamp, and the lady looked at him and was like, yeah, no problem. And I'm like, can I have one too? And she looked at me, and she's like, oh, you hunt? And just the expression and the reaction from her, I felt so small and like, oh, my God, I can't believe the reaction in Southern Ontario, especially with all the marketing and all the stuff that's going on in regards to women in the outdoors, that people still think like that.
Well,
I wouldn't take it that way. I would take it that she was probably inspired somehow.
I don't know.
Like probably never thought to do that herself. We have that happen in the store all the time when they meet my young lady that works in hunting. They're like, you do what? You know, but she doesn't take it that way at all. She just, you know, pumps her chest out with pride. And yeah, I've been doing it all my life.
Mm-hmm. Listen, it has been a good old boys club for mm-hmm. centuries. Let's be honest about this. It's been there that way for centuries. So you have to expect that there are some moments of, you know, the deer, proverbial deer looking in the headlights especially, and I mean this with a completely open heart on this one, okay? Especially a woman like yourself, Amanda, a very attractive lady that shoots guns and wears camouflage. I mean, it is not norm. I mean, let's be honest about that. And so I can see why people would mm-hmm. be sort of that expression when they hear about it. But I think it's wonderful. I embrace it. And I think mm-hmm. you should too. You've done a great job of marketing women in the outdoors, by the way. Absolutely outstanding job. And we need about another 100 of you at least mm-hmm. to.
I'm trying.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get more women involved. Yeah.
And what's the general consensus when you kind of suggest to women, hey, why don't we go grab a gun and go out and shoot something today? What do they say?
It's 50-50. Some of my girlfriends are, you know, no. And then some of my girlfriends are like, oh, hell yeah, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you can kind of tell the girls that want to go are originally from Northern Ontario
right.
for the most part. And the girls that are interested in mm-hmm. Southern Ontario are... they're country girls in a way. You don't really girlfriends that I've made that are straight right from the city and I've asked to accompany me or even go camping, they wouldn't ever hear of it.
Isn't that wild?
So,
that's bizarre.
And I try, you know, like you shouldn't shoot it down if you haven't tried it before. And you know, you use those lines and such, but they're no running water. Are you serious?
Like, yeah,
I have girlfriends like that. I even have guy friends like that.
So do I.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? So do I.
I have male friends I've gone partridge hunting with and I've asked them to clean the bird and they would not hear of it. I
for
am
sure.
turning around. I do not want to see that.
Oh, for sure. Listen, keep flying the flag and putting up a good fight. And I know that with women like you, in the outdoors. It won't be long before it becomes a level playing field, and us knuckle draggers will be we'll be pulling our arms up and putting them in our pockets, putting our hands in our pockets anyway, so they don't quite drag quite.
Yeah, keep her going.
Amanda, how can folks get a hold of you or reach out to you or maybe find out more about you, and where are you hanging out these days? Give them an address or something.
I'm actually hanging out in Elmira. Nice. And I have a couple websites. I have a joint hunting website with my husband, and
perfect.
It's backwoodsbones.com. We're working on an upcoming TV series for a hunting show. And you can reach me on AmandaLynnMayhew.com as well.
Amanda Lynn Mayhew, an absolute pleasure having you on the program. And keep in touch. Let us know how you're making out.
Thank you for inviting me to the show.
Our pleasure. Wow, she is a breath of fresh air. I got to tell you, I saw her at the show last year in October, and I said, holy mackerel, if that's the hunting industry, I might want to get into this business.
I find her quite inspiring.
It inspired me, never mind you. I was fully inspired, as I am by our next guest who has been patiently on the line with us, Daryl Krunze, a surprise guest on today's show. We have been playing television and radio phone tag for a couple of years now, and he hasn't called in all that time, and there he is on the line from Florida, I'm assuming. Daryl Krunze on the line.
Feet in the water and my butt in the sand.
Attaboy. Daryl Krunze from, of course, television fame, magazine fame, Hall of Fame, you name it, he's a fame. Daryl, in the booth with me today is Lynn LeFave, not LeFame, from Sail Outdoors. Say good morning to her, first of all.
Good morning, and I hear you're putting a new store in Burlington. The question is, when are you putting a store in Kitchener-Waterloo and one down at Fort Erie, Ontario?
I cannot give any details on Kitchener or Waterloo, but I know that Burlington should be opening May or June of 2012.
Yeah, and I have good, from good authority, that they're spreading out west.
There's feelers out there, that's for sure. Yeah.
For sure. And we get discounts for the outdoor press, right?
Oh, absolutely. You get discounts everywhere you go, don't you?
I try not to pay.
You try not to pay is right. So how are you scamming a free trip down to Florida, my friend?
This is the annual, right? But I'm heading home Monday or Tuesday morning.
That's it? You're done?
3 months. That's enough.
You've been down there 3 months?
Yeah.
How has Monica been dealing with that?
Enough that she's keeping a leash on me. How's that?
Oh, my God. The poor woman. I mean, speaking about women in the outdoors, I'll bet she spent a lot of time in the outdoors in the last 3 months away from you.
I had her out in some boats yesterday, so.
How's the fishing been going down there?
Been really good. Lots of wind, but, you know, the bonefish are a little slow and the snook because of the freeze the last couple of years, but there's lots of fish around.
A lot of Canadians taking advantage?
We're not seeing them. I mean, it's depressed down here a little bit. You know, they keep talking about gas going to $5 a gallon and everything. But
oh, my God.
You know, the fish don't know that.
Yeah, exactly. Daryl, I want you to stay on the line with us if you can. I got to take a quick break. I want to talk to you about a very special program that you've been involved with in terms of stocking and restocking. And I know you've got some opinions on that. And I would like to listen to those if you could give us another moment.
I'm waiting.
Daryl Krunze on the line. We're going to talk to him when we come back from this next break. More Journal after this. Don't you dare go away.
And now, back to the Outdoor Journal.
Welcome back to the program, hour number two here on Outdoor Journal Radio. Sportsnet 590, the fan, Angelo Viola, along with Lynn LeFave, store manager at Sail Outdoors, the super store that's got a huge, and I want to emphasize,
sale.
Huge sale today at both stores or just the Oshawa store?
All stores this weekend.
All stores,
weekend.
Ottawa, Oshawa, yep. The whole deal.
And we pay the tax.
And 50% off.
On the clothing, the snowshoes, up to 50% off.
Oh, my God.
Footwear. Yep, now's the time to get your hikers for next season.
Mm-hmm. The other thing we're going to be doing before we go off air today, last week, Peter and I were at the Spring Fishing and Boat Show. and doing a bunch of things. But one of the things we did is have folks fill out ballots for a draw we're going to make here on air. So if
Fabulous.
You're listening and you were at the spring fishing show and you filled out one of the Sail Outdoor ballots, this is the draw coming up. Before we go off the air today, somebody's going to win 200 buckaroos.
Awesome.
$200 gift card from Sail Outdoors. And we will be doing that sometime between now and the top of the hour. But right now we need to concentrate really hard. We need to focus. We need to all pay close attention. Our good friend Daryl Kronze, the Kronze, is on the line from Florida, his winter haunt. Yes, he is one of the winter, the bluebirds. I guess he'd be called a bluebird or white bird or something.
Snowbird.
Snowbird.
No.
He's a bird. Well, he's a bird. We know
he's
that.
He's a bird.
He's a turkey. He's a turkey. Daryl, I want to talk about the stocking program that you've been involved with Steelhead, please.
Well, 6 years ago, we decided we were going to bring the sagging back. And what we've done, Ange, is we've taken the right species, rainbow tight trout, the right genetics, Chambers Creek. We're raising 55,000 to 65,000 8-inch yearlings. We're stocking them 50 miles up the river. And the run's gone from 3,000 to what we estimate now at 25,000 to 30,000.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but when I was growing up in this industry, I was a bit of a river rat here in the southern part, off of Lake, you know, tributaries off of Lake Ontario. But was the sagging not legendary at one point?
Yeah, well, New York or Michigan was stocking a lot of fish on the shorelines, and they were straying over to, you know, the sagging, and we were catching a lot of their fish.
Okay.
And they smartened up. They've imprinted them in pens and put them up the rivers. So they weren't straying across, so we decided to take it in our own hands and see what we could do.
And folks don't realize that. I mean, here you are, you know, a celebrity in the media world in terms of fishing. Of course, you cut your teeth in the publication business, Ontario Fisherman, eons ago, and then moved that into a very successful television career. But they never see you as that guy who rolls up the sleeves and marches out into the, you know, muddy banks of rivers and rehabs our system, and in this particular case, restocks. So,
well, you work with two good clubs, like we're with the Ontario Steelheaders and Lake Huron Fishing Club, or vice versa.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it is a lot of work. But we lifted the trap last year. We take adults also instead of stocking just the yearlings. But we trailer adults 50 miles up into prime water. And I set a target at 1,000 last year, adults. I thought it was going to take us 4 weeks. We trapped 1,000 adults in 4 days.
Wow.
I mean, this is the best steelhead fishery, I would say, right now anywhere on the continent.
I have heard rumors to that effect, my friend, and each time it's usually from a real hardcore avid steelheader who says you got to get yourself up there and see what they've done with that piece of water.
Just below Denny's Dam, where the Steelheaders Park is, between 200 and some days almost 1,000 fish are being caught. Now, that's in a mile stretch. We lifted the trap one day, and there was 500 fish in it.
What do you attribute this wonderful success story to?
Honestly, knowing what you're doing. You pick the right species, the right genes, and raise them to the right size and put them in the right spot. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, well, you make it sound ultra simple. I know that's not the case. This is not just a matter of getting lucky here. How do you get the right species? How do you get the right program? How do you get the right volunteers?
You get common sense. And again, you know, you target the right fish. And rainbow trout's a great lake fish for troll, and it's a great fish for the river. You pick the right genetics, and like I said, these are Chambers Creek. They're proven fish. Josh, my son, got one 18 pounds. He caught 21 fish in one day.
No, it is pretty spectacular.
You know, it's just absolutely unbelievable what's going on up there.
It reminds me of the late 70s up to the mid-80s in the local streams here, the Osher Creek, Bowmanville Creek, all of these wonderful streams, the Ganaraska, all of them. I mean, it was nothing to go out and make contact with 30 to 50 fish in an evening.
You know,
and,
I'll be honest, and I don't want to be a redneck, but we've lost the focus on what we're raising fish for and how we raise fish and what fish we raise. The province just isn't doing it right. I don't care what anybody says.
Well, I mean, you and I are going to go on about this, the province and stocking programs that are being supported now. We're going to go on at length in another program that we will target as a stocking fish program. Shall we or shall we not? And I agree with you 100%. In a lot of cases, it's being done for all the wrong reasons. And to me, the only right reason to do what you guys have done on the Saugeen is to further enhance the wonderful sport or activity, whatever you want to call it, that we come to love called angling.
Well, what I say is, you know, you don't raise fish to waste fish. If you're going to use your hatcheries, put the right fish in there, do it the right way. For anglers to catch them and for sale to sell a lot of tackle,
right.
And for the economy to boom.
There'd be no other reason to do a program like this. And
well, there's too much experimenting, and you know that as well as I do.
I do.
Let me ask your co-host today.
Yes.
If back in 1988, and say sales was in Oshawa, and you bought since 1988 to the present time, you bought 5 million pairs of socks to sell to outdoors people, and you only sold 33. Would you keep selling those socks?
33 out of 5 million?
Yep.
I would say no.
You should be running the Ministry of Natural Resources.
Daryl, on that note, I am going to ask you quickly, what's in the future for Daryl Kranze? Have you made the official announcement yet?
No, I'm heading up. I'm leaving Monday or Tuesday morning to pick up 3 trailers. We're down on Lake Erie at Point Avenue, and I've got to go up, get the 3 trailers, and we start moving fish. With this spring, we don't know when. What I'm going to do, though.
What?
You heard about these Alabama rigs?
Yes.
Well, I'm going to get an Alabama rig. You know, I've adopted this little Chihuahua.
Yes.
I'm going to make an Alabama rig that I can put 3 Chihuahuas on and go.
Oh my God. You just, that's it.
I've got to say this to you. I heard that Pam Anderson has finally got away from PETA, right?
Yes.
That's correct.
No more baring her breasts for them.
No,
very
sir.
Sad news this morning about
well,
that.
Well, that's kind of neat because I'm not a PETA person, but I'm just hoping she doesn't go to the Federation and start baring her breasts to represent the Atlantic Salmon Program.
There you go, my friend.
I had to do it, Andy.
Daryl, I appreciate you coming on. I just want to tell the audience, in the weeks to come, Daryl and I are planning on putting on a program. We're going to go a little more in depth into the entire fish stocking situation in this province. A lot of folks that are listening do not know the real story, and we're going to try and open that up a little bit for everybody. So stay tuned, kids. This was not the end of it.
All
sure.
The best to sale. We're going to sell a lot of steelhead equipment for them.
Attaboy. Thanks, Daryl.
Catch you later.
Daryl Kranze from Going Fishing Television, of course, and the old, and I think a lot of us can remember back to the days of reading his magazine, Ontario Fisherman. It was the read in this province, if not this country at one point. And Daryl was the greatest advocate for fishing, outdoors, everything, you name it. He was instrumental, in my opinion, in bringing angling to where it is today. As was our next man here.
Dr. Gord's office.
Oh, I'm going to need a doctor. These fish just won't eat. I'm trying everything down there, and they're not biting it. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Please hold. I'll get the doctor.
Hey, that means our good friend Dr. Gord. Gord Pizer from Outdoor Canada Magazine on the line. Gord, we have 2 for that couch again today.
I know.
I know. It's sorry about that. I know you haven't been charging me extra for it. But...
How are you today, Lynn?
I'm fantastic, thank you.
Oh, that's good.
Gord, before we get on with you, though, Lynn has to do me a favor. She's going to reach down into a big tackle box here.
Absolutely.
Because we have got to pull out a winner. While she does that, I'll just quickly talk to you. This tackle box was filled with contestants that were at the spring fishing show last week and put their name in the ballot to win a $200 sale gift card from the folks at
Sail
Outdoors.
Well, I hope she pulls my name.
Well, I had mine in there often enough, I can tell you. But she's having a hard time reading that name right now, so I'm kind of filling in. This is kind of like Ed McMahon filling in for Johnny Carson. How are things up north?
Fantastic.
Lots of snow? Or
you know what? We've probably got over a foot this week. It's the biggest snowfall. And of course, I was down at the show there at Andy's show, the spring fishing show, and of course I flew home on Monday night. And get into Winnipeg, it's raining. By the time I get to the outskirts of the city, it's snow, and drive for 3 hours through the worst snowstorm of the entire year.
Okay, here we go. We have a winner. Lynn, please let folks know who won.
Where's the drum roll?
My crack technician was sleeping.
I have picked out a ballot here, and it is Rebecca Couch.
You got to be Couch. Hold it. Stop right now. You pulled out a female. Out of that box of thousands of tickets, you pulled out a female on Women's Day here on Outdoor Journal.
I did not have my eyes closed, but this is what I have picked out.
Once again, give me that name again.
That's Rebecca Couch.
So Rebecca Couch, whomever, wherever you are. Where's she from, did she say?
Well, the phone number is 514.
Okay, that's Quebec.
There you go.
Well, then
she came a long way for that.
And there are plenty of sale stores in Quebec, so she will be contacted by the folks at sale. Obviously, she's not listening right now. Well, no, I shouldn't say that.
Maybe she could be
on the internet. You have won, congratulations, a $200 gift card from Sale Outdoors, and they're well represented in the province of Quebec as well as they are here in Ontario now, I'm proud to say.
And more to come.
So congratulations. There you go. Sorry, Gord. We had to do a little business there.
Oh, that's great business.
Gord, let's tell the audience, I'm embarrassed. I don't know about you, but Gord, you know, lives up in the northern reaches of the province in the Kenora area, and he's heavily engaged in outdoor activities, as I am, so we don't often get a chance to meet and get together. However, you know, once or twice a year, we're both booked into special shows and events, and it's that one time a year, twice a year, that we get a chance to shake hands and say hello, and I'm embarrassed to tell you that we were both at the International Center last week, and we did not do that, did we?
You know what the problem? I think I didn't get in until late Saturday night.
Oh, okay. I feel better. I feel somewhat vindicated here.
But you know what was really neat?
What?
Is Andy donated the ballroom to Muskies Canada for Sunday.
Yes.
And they used it as a fundraising event. And then on Sunday morning from 8 o'clock until 10:30, Jim Sarek and I did a 2.5-hour Muskie seminar for Muskies Canada, when Big Jim was the MC. They had to bring in 75 to 100 more seats into the room. Then the fire marshal's office had to close the building, our section down, because it was so crammed with people. Muskies Canada raised an all-time record amount of money.
That doesn't surprise me.
Isn't that great?
That doesn't surprise me. Everywhere the doc goes.
Oh, no.
They follow him around like a flock. That's just fantastic.
So yeah, it really was.
We need to get you into a sales store, my friend.
Hey, wow. You and me, Ange, and Pete, we could do a...
Could you imagine?
A non-stop fishing
center. Could you imagine?
Yeah, no one would show up.
Exactly. Hey, I got to tell you a funny story about that. I know it's Women's Week, but, you know, you're talking about live events and fire marshals closing. Now I've got the opposite to share with you. I will never forget this for the rest of my life. It happened about... I'm going to say 20 years ago, and I know I'm going way farther back than I should. 20 years ago, Al Linder and I were booked into a live event in Peterborough, Ontario. Now, if you were ever going to pick a venue where Al Linder and the Fishing Canada guy, Angelo Viola, were going to draw a huge audience, would you not pick Peterborough, Ontario?
Absolutely.
I would. Okay. I used to live there. I think you'd do well.
Six people, and two of those people, one of them was Rick Morgan from the Federation of Anglers and Hunters, and the other one was my banker.
So
let's cut them out because they were in there free. So there's four people that paid to see Al Linder at a live event in Peterborough.
You'd have more of a following at Tim Hortons.
My God. And you know what? To his credit, and to my credit, too, we put on the best hour and 20-minute seminar that this country has ever seen to those four guys.
Wow.
I'll never forget it as long as I live. And afterwards, obviously, Al and I went for a coffee and compared notes on previous experiences. And it had never happened before to either one of us. But
I could say one thing real quick, though, what really, honest, truly, truly surprised me, how many people at that show, and I'm going to say hi right now to all of them, came up and said, I listen every Saturday to you guys on the Outdoor Journal Radio. It blew me away. And I listen to you and
I was listening to you and Kranzi there talking about the Saugeen.
Yeah.
So many guys were talking about the Saugeen and the steelhead there. And James Vanderveer, John Vanderveer, the late John Vanderveer's son,
yes.
James sent me an email afterwards and said, I think he got 26 steelhead on the Saugeen, but so many people are listening right now, and I didn't realize we had that kind of following.
Oh, it's humbling for me to do live appearances, whether it's at sale stores mm-hmm. or at the spring fishing show. It's humbling for me to hear our listeners and our viewers come up and say, "Hey, I've been listening to your show for eons," and my dad and I sit every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock.
It
just brings the whole thing full cycle and makes the heart swell a little bit and takes the wrinkles out of the soul.
And Ange, I say this in all honesty, and I know it's because we're all kind of kindred spirits, but they are such honest, truly nice people. They come up and they're so nice about it, and they brought down photos of salmon or muskies or whatever to show you and talk about it. And truly, grassroots, honest, hardworking guys and gals, and it was just so nice to meet them.
We should all be thrilled to be in the business, my friends.
We really should.
Gordy, thank you, buddy.
Hey, thank you. Take care, Lynn.
You too.
Gord Pizer from Outdoor Canada. Always a thrill and a pleasure to have him on. Lynn LeFave, I'm telling you, I had an absolute blast today, as I did with all of our other special guests, but you in particular.
I had a great time.
Thanks for joining us. Now I know when I need a co-host in a pinch, I can just give you a call.
Give me a call.
on behalf of Mr. Gorskowski on the other side this morning, Joe, who slept in, I don't care what he says. And also Dylan Brown and Igor at the Fan. Special thanks to our producer, Steve Franklin. Have a great weekend, everybody. Come on out to sale and check us out from noon to 4 at the Oshawa store. Take care now.